Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. Today, I'm joined again by Diane Conklin. She first appeared as a guest on your Partner in Success Radio as our first guest of 2011, and we had a good time. We just got to rocking and rolling and chatting, and we covered so much ground that Diane readily agreed to return so we could continue our conversation. We were talking about social media marketing and how to turn your knowledge into profits, and today, we're going to cover that, and we're probably going to wander a little far afield and go into, you know, other things that kind of feed into social media marketing and marketing in general. So a quick kind of recap, Diane is an internationally known marketing and business strategist. She is also an author, an entrepreneur, coach, consultant, speaker, and direct response marketing expert who for over 13 years has specialized in showing entrepreneurs and small business owners how to integrate their marketing strategies, media and methods to get maximum results from their marketing dollars. And we're going to be talking about direct response marketing today, too. We really didn't get to that the last time, and I have a ton of questions. So rather than give you the whole bio, you can read it on, I'm very raspy today. You can read her bio on your Partner in Success Radio. It's all there. And you can listen to the last show we did where I went through the whole thing. I have so many questions, I don't want to kind of overload people with information they may have already heard. So good morning, Diane, and welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me back. I'm really excited.
Well, you know, you just give so much information, and I mean, I walked away from that call going, whoa. So
well, thank you.
That's a pretty good thing. So tell me how you've been and what you're, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's time and grade, you know. If you've been around as long as I have, you better know something.
You think so? I know. Well, I know you've been up to a lot of stuff since we spoke in January. So, you know, give us a quick kind of journey, you know, what you've been doing since the first of the year.
We've got a lot of new projects going on, and as you know, we do a lot of other things other than just social media. We sort of call it our umbrella of services that we offer. So we do a lot of things with information marketing and direct mail and direct response marketing, and events are sort of our five areas that we do. And so one of the things that we've got coming up that we've been working really hard on is a couple things. Actually, we've got a telesummit that we're going to be doing with a friend of ours that's going to cover the sort of the whole gamut of information marketing, and have a new mastermind that we're going to be starting, a real mastermind, not just a coaching group, probably in June, and also working on a little information product where we can actually help people put their products made and done in a weekend. So we're really, really excited about those things.
Yeah, because, you know, people come to me all the time, and obviously they come to you or you wouldn't put this project together, but people have these tremendously great ideas, and then they just hit a wall. Well, where do I go? You know, do I put it in CD or do I put it on audio and have it downloaded? And, you know, I mean, just the questions just floor people.
Yeah.
So they kind of stop, and I think a lot of products don't get built because of that.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. It doesn't matter if you're somebody that's just developing your first product or if you're somebody who's got five or six of them or eight or ten of them. I hear all the time that's one of the big things that people just wish there was an easier way to, faster way to do it. And so,
blueprint.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, so that there people walk away literally in 48 hours with, here it is. You know, here's the binder. Here it is all done for you. And, oh, by the way, here it is in a little thumb drive. And now you can take it to your local printer or whoever you want to fulfill it, and you're good to go. So we're pretty excited about that.
I bet. I can't wait to see that. Well, listen, I want to talk to you about information marketing because we covered that to some degree in our last interview.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, we got pretty deep into it, but information marketing, I think there's some misunderstanding about just what information marketing is. So can you give me your idea of what it is and how it helps people?
Yeah, what we talk to people about is information marketing is really any kind of information or knowledge that you already have. So it's not like you have to go out and learn a new skill. You don't have to go to college. It's stuff that you already know about. Maybe that you're already doing in your business if you have a bricks and mortar, you know, kind of place. But it's information that you already have that you now put together in some format. Could be audio, could be video, could be written format, could be a combination of those things. And teach other people about it or educate people about it. For some people, Denise, you know, it's a part of their business, but it's not something they necessarily even make money on. It's just a pamphlet mm-hmm. that a doctor builds to talk to people about, you know, the five most important things you need to know to take care of your skin in the summer if you're a dermatologist or something like that. So
right.
it's really about how-to sorts of information, and then for those of us who love the information marketing business, it's a matter of now taking that knowledge and information and turning it into what I call ongoing, passive, repeatable income streams.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of ways to do that within an information marketing business, which is why it's such an appealing business for folks.
Can you give me some ideas of how people can make it repeatable?
Yeah,
that's another question that people just go, well, I've got it, now what?
Right, yeah. So there are a lot of ways today, because we live in the, you know, in the internet world, to make things what we call evergreen, which means you can, mm-hmm. it's the old Ron Popeil thing, right? Set it and forget it. right? So you just drive people to it. So, for example, you could put up literally a teleseminar or a webinar online that people could go to. So, for example, let's just say, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock p.m. and 7 o'clock p.m., the webinar or teleseminar plays. You don't have to be there. You can set it up to do this automatically. And so people get, you market to them, they get on this teleseminar or the webinar, and on the teleseminar you talk to them about the product that you have, whether it's mm-hmm. a you know $200 product or a $1,000 product, whatever it is. And once you get something that works, now you set it up, they get on, they go, wow, this is really cool. This is something that I need or something that I want. And they invest the money with you to get the product. And it could be digitally delivered. It could be that something, you know, it gets mailed or whatever. All of this now is automated because you have a shopping cart that the order goes into. And then if it is a downloadable thing, of course, that can be done automatically. And even if you're going to ship them a product, the way we have our system set up is that our shopping cart now just sends a message to the fulfillment house and says, you know, please send XYZ product to Denise. And mm-hmm. that happens within a 24-hour time period. You haven't done any work.
Right. Well, you've already created it.
Yeah, you create it
so
once.
So the work has already been done.
Exactly. You do the work once,
yeah.
And you benefit from it over and over and over again.
Now, you mentioned Fulfillment House, and that's another question, because people say, well, again, now what do I do with it?
Sure.
So, you know, there are different Fulfillment Houses. Are there any that you recommend? And you might want to explain to people what a Fulfillment House is.
Yeah, it's just really the place that has your product. And so they're the ones who actually put it together, box it up, and ship it out for you. That's a fulfillment house. There are some
right.
really... go ahead, sorry.
Well, I know I have clients that have, you know, they'll put together an entire binder of things. They'll have the audio, it'll have DVDs, it'll have workbooks. It has this gorgeous binder that's stamped with their logo and, you know, their tagline and all of that. So these are things that they just ship out when they're ordered.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They print them, they put the tabs in them, they put them in the three-ring
right.
binder, they insert the covers, they do all of that work for you. As
right.
if by magic, which I really like when things happen.
Oh, yeah,
as
you
by
and me
magic.
Both. I like magic. I know that, you know, there are different fulfillment houses, and I guess the best thing to do is just Google it if people are looking, you know. But if you have any recommendations, you know, please feel free to offer them.
Yeah, there's a couple really good ones. One of the big ones that you hear a lot about is a company called Vervante. They do really good work. Disc.com does really good work. I will tell you that we use A local printer that we do a lot of our direct mail stuff with actually does that for us. I like doing business with local businesses because, you know, if there is something I need to change really fast or whatever, you know, I can send my assistant to, you know, drive over there and talk to the gal that's in charge or those kinds of things. So, and a lot of times it's not any more expensive to do, and you'll find sometimes if you can find a local shop like that, they tend to be a little bit more flexible. So, like, my gal will print stuff up. When we first got started, she was willing to print things up, you know, one at a time, two at a time, five at a time, whereas a lot of the bigger companies want to do, you know, 100, which is a bigger, you know, it's a bigger, a lot more money out of your pocket when you first get started to do it that way. So, you know, sometimes you make a decision, you're willing to spend, you know, a few dollars more to have something done in smaller quantities as opposed to printing up 100 of, you know, of your courses kind of thing.
Right. And it's been my experience, too, that in some of these fulfillment houses will say, well, sure, but we have a minimum, like you say, 100 or whatever it is, and then they charge you to store them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a double whammy. So I think you're right. I agree with you. If you can find a local house who will print on demand, and you might pay just a little bit extra, but you don't have that storage cost, it works out well.
And, yeah.
You know,
and, you
just
know,
having that, certainly, you know, that local...
Yeah, the other option is, you know, you can certainly do them. You know, you could have all the stuff and have it in your office, or, you know, if your home is your home office, and have somebody there who puts them together for you too. So there are lots of ways around that storage thing, but not every company does that. Yeah.
Right. You just have to figure out what's the best fit for you and what's going to work. So the profit potential of information marketing, Diane, is huge. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. It is huge, and it's huge because one of the big advantages of information marketing is we have really big margins.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, I mean, think about, again, this is a value thing, right? But the paper that we print information on is the most expensive thing that we do, really, right? So we have a binder, you have paper, you have CDs. So for a course that might cost, you know, a few hundred dollars, you might have $20 or $30 into it. So in information marketing, if you look at what your cost is and multiply it, add a zero to it, many times that's a very reasonable figure that you can get. And the reason is because we're not a commodity. We're not a commodity item. We get to charge based on the value. And so in a lot of times we talk about this as money at a discount. And what I mean by that is, you know, the value of holding this course in my hand is that I invested $297, but if I do the things that are in here and I follow the four steps that they're teaching me, for example, about direct mail, I could make literally thousands, tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars this year from this $300 investment.
Well, one of the things, and I'm convinced that you hear this all the time, people say, oh my gosh, I've got an idea, but then I look around and somebody else has already done it better than I could. That just makes my teeth snap together.
Well, here's the thing, you know, that's a judgment on your part. Somebody else has done it better than you could.
I know.
We're all attracted to different things, right? And so who gets to judge what's better and who gets to judge what's best? People don't always invest in with you in your products and services because you know more. You know, there are a lot of reasons that people invest with us. It could be that they like you. You know, they simply, and that's the first thing, right? Know, like, and trust.
And trust,
so
right.
Once they build that with you because you've given them something, there might be a lot of things out there that, you know, are somebody who's been in business longer or somebody who has maybe more knowledge about something or somebody who has a degree. But nobody ever checks to see if when they buy a course, the person who's made it has a PhD or is some big certification, right? So that's really a mindset issue, I think, that boils down to, you know?
And, you know, here's another thing, and I'd love to hear your take on this. So much of what we do as consultants or entrepreneurs is really taking advantage of what I call our soft skills. You know, a lot of us have soft skills that we don't even consider, or, you know, I don't, but a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, that's not marketable. I'm really great at talking with people. I'm really great at inspiring people. Or I'm really good at saying, well, you know, why don't we just maybe go over here and do this little thing, and if you do this, this will happen. Those are soft skills. And I think so many people just ignore that when they're trying to determine what kind of product that they're going to create, and not really realizing that those soft skills are really what got you where you are.
Yeah,
does that even make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes sense to me, but it might not make sense to you.
Well,
I haven't had any coffee today.
Everybody has things in their life, whether it's a soft skill like you're talking about, or even not just knowledge that they have, right? That
right.
We devalue because it's ours, and we're so close to it, right? And so this is mm-hmm. a big reason that we work with so many people, and from a coaching perspective and a mentor perspective, is because it's easy for me to look in at you or your business and say, well, geez, you have great skill at this, or this is really in your
right.
unique ability. And you sort of go, yeah, it's just something I do, right? Well, it's not
exactly.
just something you do. It has great value for other people. You take it for granted because it comes so easily to you.
Right. And you know what I tell people? You don't know what you don't know. It's always amazing to me that I'll be talking with a new client, or even, you know, an established client, and I'll mention something that I just assume they know, and they're like, oh, it's like giving them a Twinkie. They're like, ooh, it's brand new stuff.
Yeah.
I'm always
yeah.
amazed that people don't know what they don't know, and then I'm always excited every day when I learn something that I didn't know.
Yeah, and
so,
I think
you know,
the bigger picture in what you just said is that we don't acknowledge how much we know until we're in a situation like that where we are talking to somebody and we go, wow, I really am an expert at this. Wow, I really do
yeah.
know
yeah.
a lot about this subject, you know? Those kinds of things. And so I think both sides of that coin are very important.
Again, that's part of the soft skills, you know, that leads into the hard skills, and then it's a product development. And I think a lot of people are just shy. I've got this great idea, and I just, first of all, they don't know where to go to build the product or how to build the product. And then, and I'd love to know if you hit this wall with people, they really just don't want to toot their own horn.
Yeah, because, sure, we grew up in a society where it was, you know, no, don't brag, right? I mean, that,
right.
You know, we as entrepreneurs, I have a friend who says an entrepreneur is the loneliest person in the world because, you know, where do you go to talk about, you know, what it is that you're doing and, you know, all the great things that are happening and, you know, the advances that you had in your income or the new coaching program or the new courses that you've put out, or where do you talk to people about that? You can't go to dinner with your neighbors and talk about that
no.
stuff. They have no idea what you're talking about, right? So we've learned.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, we've learned not to talk about it. We've learned not to say, wow, this really great thing happened. And so one of the big advantages to coaching programs and masterminds and those sorts of things is that it gives us a place. You know, I never feel more at home than I do when I'm at a live event with other entrepreneurs, because it gives us mm-hmm. a place that we can relate to people and talk to people and in some ways, you know, brag about what we've done in an environment where it's acceptable to do that and where people actually, you know, celebrate with you. There's no jealousy
yeah.
with entrepreneurs, right? You're not sitting at dinner talking to somebody about how you just did, you know, $100,000 on this launch or whatever it is, and they're like, really? You know, they don't believe you. Whereas if you say that with a group of entrepreneurs, they're like, woohoo, good for you, yay.
And, you know, and I've said this from the very beginning, online entrepreneurs, in my experience, are the most generous people in the world. I mean, we help each other, we advise each other, you know, we'll step in and, you know, if you've got a broken link on your website, we'll say, hey, you know, fix this. You know, we just help.
Yep.
I mean, we're just so willing to reach out and say, hey, good job.
Yep. Yeah, it's very much
it's
about
an amazing environment.
Yeah, and it's very much about, you know, collaboration
mm-hmm.
as opposed to cooperation. Because I think as entrepreneurs, our mindsets are different. We understand that there really is no such thing as competition. You know, nobody is the same as me, right? So I have my own unique
right.
that I bring to this topic and my own story of how I got here and who I am that makes me unique. So even if there are 20 other people doing what I do, there's really no competition. And so because we all do, I mean, it is about helping each other, right? I mean, so this person made more sales this month than I do. First of all, you wouldn't know that, but who cares,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, the measurement stick that we should all use is twofold. One is what we're doing and how much productivity we have, and then not the illustrious carrot that's hanging in front of us, but to actually turn around and look at how much we've accomplished in the last quarter or in the last year. If we use that as a measuring stick, most of us are usually pretty amazed at how much stuff we really got done and how cool it really is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I had a conversation with my best friend last night, and it dawned on me yesterday. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. I was talking with my tax advisor and trying to, you know, set up some strategies to shield income as best as I can and not give all of it to the government. You know how that
mm-hmm.
operates.
Sure.
And you know, and I thought, this is interesting. This is really interesting that I'm now having to do this when, you know, several years ago wasn't even an option. It wasn't a worry for or a concern for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back and I tracked just the last 3 years. I have to tell you, I sucked in wind. I went, oh, I did not know that we had grown that much. I didn't know. I'm too busy in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea,
yep.
which is, you know, pretty interesting. So then when I did get an idea, I walked around and patted myself on the head for a while until I gave myself a headache and then went back to work. You know? But you're right. You can't really, you know, and she's my dearest friend and she knows what I do vaguely, but even explaining it to her, it was almost like I was bragging.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't understand how I did it. I mean, she was happy for me, but she didn't understand how I made these enormous leaps in just a few years.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, but you're right, it can be a little lonely out there.
Yeah, well, you know, the people who have jobs, I mean, you know, if you get a few percent raise every year, I mean, that's, you know, it's
yeah.
a big deal, right? I mean, because you
yeah.
don't control your own income for most people who have a regular job, whereas, you know, I always say, you know, yeah, we'll just go print up some more money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like when you own your own business, you sort of have your own money machine. You know, you turn things on and off and you market and, you know, as you have a good marketing campaign and things work, well, that's where the
right.
money comes from.
That's exactly right. Diane, very quickly, where can people find you on the web?
The main website is www.completemarketingsystems.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm looking at that right now. So I want to talk with you. I was reading one of your blog posts 2 or 3 days ago. And it's the one that's be authentic in your business and your life, and I can't even tell you how important I consider that. So do you mind chatting about that a little bit, about
sure.
you being authentic? Because I think it goes to, again, back to those hardens and soft skills, you know, who, and honestly, the know, like, and trust factor, who we are, what we bring to the table, and what we're willing to do to help you out.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really, to me, about being who you are and being honest. You know, part of that post came a little bit from, it seems like lately for some reason I'm getting a lot of marketing messages that, you know, that say, like I got one the other day that said, you know, 12 million in 12 weeks.
Oh,
really?
I know.
You know, I mean, come on. Right? I mean, look, I'm a marketer at heart. I mean, I love all things marketing. I could talk about it for days and never sleep and, you know, never have a cup mm-hmm. of coffee. I mean, I'm passionate about it, which that in and of itself makes me a little strange because most people don't like marketing. But I love it. But the thing is, really, I mean, you can bring people in that way, but then you have to deliver that. It's not deliverable. If you just said to people, look, I just helped somebody go from zero to six figures in 90 days. It's the second time in my career that I've done this. Would you like to learn how to do it?
Right.
Would you like to see the system that we use? That's authentic. That's just
mm-hmm.
me saying, hey, I've got this thing, and it's worked twice, and I can teach you how to do it if you want to know how to do it, right?
Right.
So authentic for me is different than authentic for you because we're different people, right? We talk differently. We have different experiences. I will tell you this, you know, early in my career, I tried to model other people, other successful people. And so I would study mm-hmm. them. I would go to their events and I would become little mini-me's, right? little mini this guy, little mini that guy. And finally what I realized was if I could just open up a little bit and just be me and just show people who I am with all my warts and all my, you know, chipped fingernails and, you know, a little extra flub around my middle and all of that, people are attracted to that because they don't want to work with somebody who's perfect. None of us are anyway. And, you know, your hair's out of place today. Oh, well, you know, I mean, people just love it when you just are who you are. And here's the other thing, and this has been a process, and I think it is for everybody. The other really big thing is we are not, I'm not the ideal person for everyone to learn from for a variety of reasons. And so because of that.
We all have our market. We all have people who really should work with us, and then we have other people that we really honestly should say, listen, we're not a good fit, but I'd love to refer you to somebody I think would be a good fit.
Exactly. And
now, I do that in my business. I don't take all clients. I don't. I know better than that.
Yeah, and we don't either. But I think sometimes as we're first starting out in business, we think we have to take everybody and we want to help
everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I'm still hungry after all these years, but not going hungry, but hungry for hungry to help people, right?
I understand. Yeah.
And so the interesting thing, though, is when you realize that, you know, if, let's say your niche is women, when you understand that you know, men are still going to come to you, but that women resonate more with you, or, you know, you have this passion for golf, and so because you want to talk to golfers, that's who you are. It's really amazing how when you understand that, you know, the people who are supposed to be your clients and the people who are attracted to you and your message are going to come to you and find you as long as you're out there. Now, it doesn't happen by, like, you know, sitting back and meditating for 12 hours a day. You have to take action.
Oh, are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. But once you realize that and people are like, wow, that was really cool, even though you did something that maybe you thought was a little on edge, but it really is your personality. Mm-hmm. The more of that you do, the more you find that, you know, hey, I can just be me, and some people will like it and some people won't, and that's okay.
Well, you know, one thing I've learned about being an entrepreneur is that it mirrors real life. And in real life, some people are going to just adore you, and other people are going to look at you out of the corner of their eye and go, what the heck was that? That's just life.
Yep.
I mean, come on.
Yep.
That's just life. You cannot please everybody. You can't and don't even try. And if you take that attitude and that realization into your business and say, listen, I'm here to help, and I'd love to help you, but maybe I'm not the right person. Like you said earlier, we may not be the right fit right now. Maybe I don't have the correct information or the correct products for you, but let me see what I can do to assist you and maybe send you in a direction that, you know, can assist you. And what happens then is oftentimes they come back later because then you're a good fit.
Yep, absolutely.
But it just happens. But, you know, not everybody's going to like you. My grandmother, bless her heart, I loved her. She told me one time, I was very small, I'll never forget it. And she said, honey, and I don't even know what the conversation was. When you're little and you're talking to your grandma, some things stick and some don't. But I remember her telling me, she said, honey, you know, my attitude is if they don't like the way I look, they can just not look at me. And I took that as my motto in life. And, you know, it is what it is. You don't like everybody. They don't like you. You're not going to be a good fit. You're going to be a good fit. Just go with it.
Yep.
Be the best and the most authentic person you can be and just live it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And, you know, that's how you build a business, really.
Yeah, and you know what happens is when you try to fake it and when you try to be somebody else is that people recognize that and people see it and
they
see through it. And, you know, it's not something that attracts people to you. It's actually something that repels people.
Well, you know, people have good spidey sense. I don't care what anybody says. You can tell when you're being sold to, and you can tell when a politician's lying right in your face.
Yep.
Well, maybe not. But, you know, for the most part, you
I
should
did
be
not
able
have
to. Yeah, exactly. Oh, let's not open that can of worms. But you know what I mean? I mean, you know, if you're paying attention to your instincts, you know what's going to work and what's not.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you know, anybody who wants to be in business online these days, honestly, I can't think of any reason why people can't do it. I can't, not a single one.
No, there aren't any reasons. You know, it really comes down to, and you know, this isn't going to feel good for some people, but it really comes down to excuses. You know,
yeah.
I've said for a long time, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you can't make both. You can't have
That's
both.
Right.
And, you know, there's a million in, I just finished reading Excuses Be Gone, actually, by Wayne Dyer. And, you know.
Oh, I love Wayne Dyer.
We think of them as reasons. But when you, if you really look at the things that you say and the reasons that you give for things, most of the time it ends up being that they really are excuses. And they're excuses
mm-hmm.
that we've learned from early on in our life, right? I mean, we were taught certain things that maybe weren't necessarily adequate about, you know, business and you know, being in business. And so when we decide to go into business ourselves, we take some of those things into our business with us, you know. And so as you start
right.
to make money, you start to go, oh, well, you know, I'm going to be one of those sleazy rich people. Or, you know, the messages
oh
are out there everywhere, TV, you know, pretty
right.
much everywhere for us. So,
well, and, you know, one of the phrases that I've heard all of my life, which I don't understand, is, you know, dirty money, filthy lucre. You know, what's that all about, filthy rich?
Yep.
What the
yep.
heck? Where did those terms come from?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And why don't you want to be wealthy, and why don't you want to be proud of what you do every day?
Yep. Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's, you know, I think it comes back to what I just said. You know, a lot of it is societal things. You know, you watch on TV, you know, Gilligan's Island is a fun show, right? But, you know, the rich guy is always the bad guy, right? He's always the one
yeah.
that's being looked at for different things. You know, Mr. Howell, I guess was his name. You know, look
Thurston,
at Dallas.
Yeah, Thurston the Third
yeah,
or whatever
yeah,
his
you know,
name was.
The TV
yeah.
show Dallas, you know, the same way. They're, you know, they're the mean people. They're the ones doing bad things, you know. So I think there's a lot of those images and messages. And I think when you get out into the world of entrepreneurs and, again, you're around them, you find out that, you know, the very opposite is the truth, you know. I mean, they're the most
right.
giving people. They're the ones when there's a tragedy that are given their money and their
mm-hmm.
time to, you know, to help people the most.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to direct marketing because
okay.
direct marketing, I have to say, is not something that I have much experience with. So, you know, I really wanted to talk with you about that. To me, I kind of had the idea, and I know you're going to correct me on this, and I can't wait. I thought direct marketing was largely dead, and I'm reading your work and going, well, wow, where did I get that idea? And I'll tell you why I think it's dead, because every time I get a piece of junk mail in the mail, I trash it. I don't even look at it.
Yeah, see, because it's not direct response. It's image advertising.
Oh, okay.
Which is what 80% of the advertising that you see is what I call image advertising, right? So they're out there with,
mm-hmm.
you know, here's where I'm located, here's... you know, here's my phone number, here are my hours, here's my website, you know, call now for an appointment, call now for this.
It's all about them.
They don't even use now most of the time, right? Yeah, it's all
mm-hmm.
about trying to get you to order, trying to get you to buy. It's all about, you know, none of us can compete with Nike or Coca-Cola. They can go out with their image over and over again because they have millions of dollars to spend on advertising. I don't know any entrepreneur that's spending $1 million or $3 million for a Super Bowl ad like some of those big companies are, right?
Right.
And so for
right.
us, instead of competing with that same old, what I call vanilla advertising that doesn't work, but we do it because, well, gee, I'm an insurance guy, and so this is what every other insurance guy in my
right.
you know, county is doing. We don't look
right.
at, is it effective? Is it working for them? It's just what everyone else is doing, so me too. Let me tell you what my hours are, where I'm located, and here's $10 off your next order, right? Well, direct response really takes a different strategy and a different attitude about, first of all, I don't call it advertising, I call it marketing, because although we're all in business to make sales, you don't have to sell somebody, even if you're a dentist or a chiropractor or you have a dry cleaning. You don't have to sell somebody to come to you the very first time that you interact with them. So if you did something that was more direct response oriented, we do actually this a lot. So let's just use the dry cleaner, for example, right? So if you put together a couple 3-page report or a short DVD or CD that was the three biggest mistakes that you make with your dry cleaners, or the three biggest things that you need to know before you take your clothes to the dry cleaners again or the three easiest ways to get stains out so you don't have to pay to have them clean, kind of thing, right?
Right.
Whatever that is, now you're educating the person. And so you send
them
something.
You're offering a solution, right.
Yeah, you're giving them value. So it becomes a win-win-win because I win as the client or the potential customer, the prospect, because you're giving me some great information. You win mm-hmm. because if I look at that and I go maybe opt into a page or I ask for the information, right, now you've collected my contact information so you can continue to market to me in other ways. So mm-hmm. it might take a few steps before I actually get the sale, before you actually come drop your cleaners off to me. But now, because I understand direct response and I understand being top of mind and I understand that I just had to buy this client, we all pay for clients one way mm-hmm. or the other. Now it's my job as the business owner to take the responsibility to stay in touch with these people, to send them a newsletter, mm-hmm. to send them an e-zine, to coupons online, to use Facebook to stay in touch with them, all the multimedia ways that we can do that. But I didn't go after them like everyone else and say, you know, gee, come buy from me, right? Come do business with
right.
me. I gave them something of value up front. So my right. process.
You have to nurture. You have to nurture that relationship as you build it.
Yeah, and so my sales process is longer, but it gets me a better client. It gets me a client who stays with me longer, who's more loyal, mm-hmm. who spends more money with me. All of those things are well worth a little extra time.
Right. Because, you know, honestly, when I step out to the road and I pick those value pack things out of the mailbox,
mm-hmm.
ugh, I hate those things. And they're hard to rip up because they're thick. I consider it exercise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those things, I actually find them a little bit offensive, to be honest with you. And I don't imagine I'm not the only one.
Well, yeah, and you know, when you look at what you're going to spend your marketing dollars on, I mean, you know, what the vehicle that you use is largely dependent on a lot of different factors. So, you know, what you can afford to spend, what you can afford mm-hmm. to pay for a client, what your cost of your services are, kind of thing.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, some things will work for certain industries and in certain situations. And sometimes things, you know, don't work as well. Again, if you were in that value pack with more of a direct response kind of situation instead of just the typical coupon or the typical Me Too kind mm-hmm. of advertising, you would find that those are the people who tend to pull from those a little bit more than your typical coupon advertisement.
Right, right. Well, we covered being authentic. And honestly, I'm still a little bit confused about, so is it direct mail or is it direct response mail?
They're two different things, right? Direct response
okay.
is really a marketing technique. It's a marketing strategy. It's really the way we market as opposed to the Me Too or the image advertising,
mm-hmm.
right? So when I say direct response, it means that my job as a direct response marketer is to get you to either to take action, right? There are two advantages to direct response. One is that it's measurable, which we just talked about, right, with the free CD offer or those kinds of things. So I know when I place an ad, if I say to somebody, call this 24-hour free recorded message or go to this website to get this free thing, I know how many people from that ad went there and got it because I can measure that. If I put up a billboard, I don't know how many people are calling my business because they saw the billboard on
I-95. Right. Right.
So it's measurable. The other big thing with direct response is we want people to take action. So, again, if I have to go to a website to get the free CD or the free report or I have to take this coupon into the store to get my whatever it is or fax this form back or, take the little scratch-off thing and take a pen and scratch that off so that I can see what I got, those are all actionable items. And so it's involvement, right? If I can get you as my prospect involved with me so you feel like now you have a relationship with me, that's my first mm-hmm. step. And that's really what direct response is all about.
Right.
So we use direct response marketing in all of our medias, social media, internet, in our emails, in our direct mail, in the radio ads that we do, TV ads, newspaper ads, we use direct response strategies. Direct mm-hmm. mail is just one particular media. And so that's, you
okay.
know, mailing postcards or you know, three-dimensional mail or, you know, envelope mail or whatever that is, that direct mail. And you know, it's interesting. Direct mail has never really gone away. People think it has, but it really hasn't. And what's interesting is a lot of the bigger companies now, a lot of the Fortune 500 companies, are increasing the amount of mail that they're doing and using more direct response strategies because we know that, you know, a lot of the online things, unfortunately, you know, response is down because people are overwhelmed with email and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. the results from direct mail are rising exponentially right now. I mean, here's the thing that I say to people a lot of times, right, is, okay, if I get something in the mail and I look at it and I think, you know, I'm not talking about junk mail now. I'm talking about something that's personal or that looks personal or something that grabs my attention. And I look at that and I think, you know, I have an interest in that. I want to come back and look at that later. I at least lay it on the counter or I lay it on my desk or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you looked at an email and thought, you know, I'll come back to that later? And pretty soon it's out of the picture and you can't see it anymore. You forgot or you archive it somewhere. You never go back to it.
Right.
So a huge advantage of the mail is at least if I'm going to now not go back and look at that, I at least have to pick it up again to throw it away. So I at least mm-hmm. get another chance of that headline or the teaser copy on the envelope catching my attention enough that I go, I do want to read that. You know?
Right. Yeah, I have the same problem. I mean, I periodically have to go through the different newsletters that I subscribe to and say, oh, gosh, when did I last really read this? You know, this is just clutter now.
Yep.
But, yeah, we do get a little bit overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about some of the things that I know you have a lot of done-for-you products. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of going back to people who may want to, you know, offer systems and offer products. And what I'd like for you to do is talk about the things that you're doing and maybe give some, you know, some of our audience some ideas on things that they could be doing as well. So do you mind kind of giving me just an overview of some of the products that you do? And I'd love to hear some of the stories behind them. I would.
Yeah, we do.
You're laughing,
we actually,
but I would.
Everything that we do, we have courses on that we offer for people. So we try to educate people mm-hmm. on, and we also provide done-for-you services on. And I'll tell you, it's interesting, and I don't even know if you know this yet or not, but sort of the way we started doing the done-for-you stuff, which just means that if you want a marketing campaign or you want direct mail or you want somebody mm-hmm. to take care of your social media or you want somebody to help you run it or market your event and put butts in seats, we'll actually do the marketing. We'll actually do the, you know, write the emails and do mm-hmm. all those things for you or manage your social media. The way we started that was when we branched off and really went out onto our own, we didn't have any products. And there were both of us left the employment of the information marketer that we were working for at the same time and sort of took the big leap. And we really didn't know exactly what we were going to do. And so we knew we wanted to do info products, but we didn't have one developed yet. And so we said, well, right. we know how to do everything, so let's just go do it for people. And so that's sort of how we started doing that, is we just said, we know it all. Let's just tell people, hey, we'll do all this. And,
right.
you know, with the event marketing and planning, because we ran the other guys' events that we used to work for, people knew us for that. And I really had right. never intended to help people put butts in seats or help people run their events and manage, find hotels and do all that. But I kept getting calls for it. And I asked one of our coaches and mentors, and I said, you know, what should I do? And she said, both of them said, Diane, just go with it. People know you for it. Mm-hmm. You're good at it. Just see where it takes you kind of thing. So, and then what we realized was because we got so many calls and people wanted our help is that because we had this expertise and people were asking us for it, it made sense to go ahead and make products. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I believe in doing things the easy way, and if I can get paid to make a product, I like that even better. And so, our event course, we actually did an event and spent 3 days, and I taught from the front of the room, and we recorded it. So people paid to come to the event, paid and had it recorded and did the manuals and everything. And so at the end of the event, essentially, I now have a product on how to do successful events, you know, the marketing, the planning, mm-hmm. and the management of events. And so that's the coolest way to make a product.
Right.
Our first ones, actually, we did on the telephone and just recorded them directly into my computer and did them interview style, very much like you and I are talking mm-hmm. today, and then had the audios made and had transcripts done and started off with some small products that way.
Right. And that to me seems very elemental, and I think it's a great way for people to start if they just don't have, you know, maybe they don't have the wherewithal to, you know, create a product. They don't know how to use, let's just say, Camtasia Studio, or they don't know how to make videos. There's a lot of components that can go into some of these products. And,
yeah.
you know, not everybody can do all of these or even afford to have them outsourced right now. So I love your idea of just doing, you know, quick teleseminars, recording those and putting those out there. Lisa Sasevich, of course, does that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and, you know, do you, now when you have your teleseminars, are these paid for, or do you free, or do you do a combination of both? I mean,
combination.
What would you suggest that people do?
You know, what I love to do, if I were going to make a product and use a teleseminar to do that with, one of the things that I love to do is make it a very low cost. So mm-hmm. it's $49, and they get six 1 hour sessions, whether it's a week, once a week, or let's say it's twice a week, whatever, however you, mm-hmm. you set it up. I love doing twice a week for 3 weeks because I think people, you give them more information quicker as opposed to stretching
right.
it out once a week for 6 weeks. And so you simply
well, and
say.
And then they have to go back and listen to the first one because they've forgotten what was said.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you put them on, it's $49. I mean, that's like less than $10 an hour that they're paying
right.
for this great information. And then, so you give them the great information, you record the each call that you do, and at the end, you have the ability to say to them, well, great, you know, I appreciate you guys helping me. You know you helped me make one of my, you know, a product here, and we're going to
mm-hmm.
come out with this. It's going to be in CDs, and we're going to have a manual and this and that and the other thing. And so because you guys were the special people who allowed me to make this and went through it with me, what I'm going to do is this product is going to sell for $497. What I'd like to offer for you guys is, since you paid $49 to be on and you were my special group, if you guys want it, I'll give it to you for $197.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you significantly decrease the payment for them, and it's sort of a thank you for them being on
right.
and all of that, right? So you get paid on two ends for it. And most people, even if you give them like the downloads of the calls that are just, you know, raw kind of thing, they
mm-hmm.
still want the course in the finished format.
Right, because then they have workbooks and they have actionable steps that they can take.
Yeah, exactly. And all the,
yeah,
you know, the
yeah.
worksheets and everything all in one place
right.
and, you know, in that nice little course. And then now you've got something that you can go out and sell to other folks.
Now, do you find that people really want, because this is kind of an ongoing battle I have with myself and with some of my clients, not a battle, it's just a conversation. In your experience, do people want the course in their hand? Do they
mm-hmm.
want that binder? Do they want the actual CDs, or do they want it online?
It's the great debate.
I know.
The answer is you should ask your clients in surveys and those kinds of things, because everyone is different. I will tell you, and I guess it's just because, I don't know if it's an age thing or if it's just because of, you know, how I got started in the business. I actually would rather have a physical product. I think most of the younger folks probably like the downloadable things. And there
yeah.
are advantages and disadvantages from a business perspective to both. A lot of times now what we'll do is we'll offer the course as a download, and then if you want it also shipped to you for X dollars as an upsell
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, you can also have the physical product.
Right.
You know, I think it's personal preference. I think overall you're seeing more and more things go online, and, you know, with everybody with their Kindles and iPods and iPads and
yep.
You know, whatever. I think more and more of
websites,
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Diane, what are some of the advantages and disadvantages to both? I mean, do you mind just hitting a few high
yeah,
points?
Yeah, sure. The big disadvantage to a downloadable product is it's very easy now for somebody to be dishonest, because they could download
yeah.
it and then they say, I want a refund. Or worse, they go to the merchant company and just do a chargeback, which is even worse for you. They already they have it, whether they've ever looked at it or seen it or whatever. You know, it's also easier for people to share, right? So you could put a
when it's online.
Yeah, or if you site protect it with a password, it's easy for people to say, well, here, I bought this course, go ahead and go get it, right? Or for me now to download everything, put it in a file and send it to somebody on a, you know, with a zip file kind of thing. So it's much easier for those kinds of things to happen with downloadables. With the real course that you're sending, you know, a box, obviously there's more cost for you as the business owner.
Right.
It's more expensive because not only do you have the physical cost of making the product, but you also have the cost of shipping and all of those kinds of things. It's also more difficult, which could be an advantage now, for people to send that back, right? It's much easier for them to send the box of stuff back or box of your product back than it is for them to just say on a download, hey, I don't want this. I changed my mind, right? Because they've got to put it back in the box. They've got to go ship it. They've got to do all of those things. So,
and they're unlikely to share it because, they will share it. I mean, it's never going to be 100% secure. But, you know, when somebody, a friend of yours or a colleague in another state says, oh, I want that program. Well, goody. Now I have to go find a box. Then I have to go ship it. You know what? Go buy it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can see where that attitude would kind of come into play.
Yeah, it's much more difficult to share things and to, you know, have things running around the, you know, the internet or on people's computers when it's a physical product. So, you know, it's one of those things. I like to give people the option, and that way, you know, there are people who won't buy them unless they're digital. You know, there are people who won't invest with you unless they can get, you know, the physical product. So, you know, I've got so many products, I might have to get a bigger house, but.
I know. I stopped buying. I was just like, no more. It has to be online for me now. I can't have one more binder. Seriously, I just can't. Now they're in the garage. It's really pitiful. And then if they're in the garage, then they get, you know, hot and sweaty and they break. So there's just that. Now, let me ask you, do you have much in the way to do with membership sites? Because I know a lot of membership sites now are putting their products and their programs in these membership sites.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your thought on that?
It depends on what you're using the membership site for and what price point people are paying. The good news is with a you know, if you've got a hub or membership site, it's easy now for me to say, okay, well, Denise is on the gold level and she has access to these six things. Diane is on the gold plus level and she gets access to these eight things, right?
Right.
So from that perspective, it's very easy because everything can be in one place and all of that. The problem many times with a membership site in its real form is that people are paying every month for something, but you as the business owner, you as the information marketer now really have to take an active role in making sure they go back there, right? So
exactly.
Because if you're not constantly pushing people back to the membership site with, hey, we just posted this, or there's a new this on there, or whatever, people don't feel the need to ever go back there. It has a tendency to lose its value very quickly.
Right.
With people.
I experienced that early on with Ning sites when they were still free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people would get all head up and they'd go over there and, you know, they were just talking and visiting and all kinds of things. And then if you didn't nurture it, oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just kind of went away and then spammers came in and oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But you had to really be, you're right, you had to be active in it.
Yeah, yeah. Which is really a microcosm, right, for your whole business, right? If you're not building and nurturing the relationship with current clients as well as new people who are coming in, they're going to go somewhere else.
That's right.
You know?
Right. So you have to really, you know, drive traffic, the same traffic over and over again. You have to, you know, keep bringing them right back.
Yep.
So, which then there's nothing wrong with that. But
no,
it does take time and it does take, you know, you have to be very cognizant that you know, these are your people and they're there for a reason, and you better pay attention to them.
Yep. And you got, I call it, you have to be dripping on them, right? You constantly have to be, you know, a message a week or a couple messages a week about, you know, this about that, and hey, remember this, and don't forget. And also telling them that this is a benefit of your program. This comes with your program. Also telling them if you add a free bonus in, or, you know, you get a book in the mail occasionally from somebody, and I'm in a couple coaching programs, and, you know, there's nothing worse than getting something and not knowing why you're getting it, right? So you constantly have to be telling people, here's a bonus for you, here's something extra I'm doing over and above, and continually to remind them about, you know, the things that you're providing for them, and it just does continue to build the relationship as they value. You're giving them good content, you're giving them more than you promise, and so as the value of your relationship and your stock goes up with them, the fact is they're going to stay with you longer.
Right. And, you know, a lot of that can be automated and should, but, you know, there's still that personal touch. You have to reach out and connect. You have to talk with people. And, you know, so anybody who's thinking of a membership site should really be aware that it's not one of those if we build it, they'll come things, because they won't.
Yeah.
And if they do, they won't stay.
Yep. So. And the other big thing to remember about a membership site is, you know, we all have this attitude in our head that, well, we need to give them a lot. And we do need to give people a lot, but with a membership site, you really want to be careful and cognizant to be doling things out, because it's easy to overwhelm people, right? Well, I have 69 templates in here for you. Well, goodness gracious. You know, if I use one a week, you know, that I would have, right? So three or four of this, you know, we just added one of this. Rotate content is a very good idea in membership sites, but keeping things fresh and all that. But don't overwhelm people, because that's the other thing that will cause them to go away, is there's just so much here, I don't know where to start.
Exactly. I have found in membership sites that I've been invited into to just kind of go in and take a look around, that one of two things seems to be the general thing that I find. Either one, like you said, there's so much that your eye is just like, oh my gosh, where do you go? Or there's just nothing there. Mm-hmm. And I mean literally nothing there. Oh, it's coming. No. No, I paid for it. Where is it?
Yeah, you got to have things ready.
That's a shame.
Always have to be at least 1 week ahead. That's what I always tell people. You know, the great thing is if you're doing those kinds of programs, you only have to be 1 week ahead, but you do have to be at least 1 week ahead of what you're offering people. So.
Yeah, I agree. I think membership sites are phenomenal if they're done properly and if they're treated like you care. I mean, seriously, that's what it comes down to. You have to care, and the people who are in your group or your membership site have to know that you care and that they can reach out and chat with you or reach out and chat with other members in there. I mean, it's very important that there's that know, like, and trust factor.
Yeah.
With really good, you know, actionable material, you know, really good advice, really good CDs, really good DVDs, really whatever it is that you're offering.
Yep.
But it has to, you know, make sure that whatever you're giving these people will help them build their practice or their business or their online presence or whatever it is.
Yeah, you know, it goes back to what we talked about, you know, early on in the call, is it's about being authentic, right? It's about giving them what you told them you would give them and more.
Right.
It's about, you know, giving them good content. And what it really does is, the more good stuff you give them, the more good stuff you teach them, the more good things you do for them, the more you build the relationship, and the more you build this, what I call the stickiness, right? The more they want to know, well, gosh, if I got this from Diane, if I got this from Denise, and it was just this low investment or whatever it was, what's it going to be like when I move up to the next thing with her? I can't imagine how much great stuff I'm going to get. And so that's what you want to continually be doing in your business, because it does build the relationship. It does build loyalty. It does build, you know, the effect that you can have on their business, which is sort of that ripple effect, right? You drop the pebble in the ocean and help one person, and it literally, which is the thing that jazzes me up so much now, it literally goes out, how many people do they affect, and the people who they touch affect.
Right.
And it's this huge mass of effect that you can have on people by just really helping just that first person.
Exactly. And, you know, that's how I got started. I started following people like Rosalind Gardner and Joel Kalmarand. And, you know, they were giving a lot of information that, honestly, I could take action on. So I did.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's just, that's how you get started. You find somebody that you know I can trust. They're giving you information that makes sense to you, that, you know, some of it's a little difficult to implement, some of it not so much. And then you start to find your own authenticity, and you speak in your own voice. And it's amazing. It's almost like, you know, a little butterfly coming out. It's amazing what you can do once you get comfortable with what it is that you're doing, what it is that you're offering. And then you really recognize how much you love it and how
yeah.
you are. And really that's, people can tell when you're not passionate, when you're not authentic, when you're not just absolutely nuts about what you're talking about. They get that.
Yep.
They do. So,
yeah, absolutely.
It is, as always, it's wonderful chatting with you. Tell people one more time where they can find you.
Yep. Our main website is www.completemarketingsystems. That's plural, completemarketingsystems.com. We do have an 800 number if you want to call. If you have a question or something I can help you with, that number is 866-293-0589.
Great. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming back with me here today. I love chatting with you, and I learned so much from you.
Well, thank
you. In fact,
you.
I'm going to have this one transcribed because, I mean, there was a few little nuggets in there that I went, I was taking notes while you were talking.
Well, good. Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It was fun.
Oh, I enjoy it, and I'll get you to come back again one day soon. So thank you, everybody, for being here, and the show will be available for download in about an hour. It's also on iTunes. And this is Denise Griffiths and the fabulous Diane Conklin wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I will see you next week. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.